Welcome to Technology Rocks.
This is Technology Rocks with your host Tony and your host Justin.
This is Tony the Forgotten.
Well, I didn't forget myself.
I wish I could forget myself sometimes. Hey,
everyone. Reintroduce yourself to yourself every day.
This is our Friday podcast on a Saturday appropriately done. So we are going to try out a little bit of a new format, less off the cuff, more structured.
I don't deal well with structure, but I'm going to try.
To see how well it does. So we're going to start, cap it off with local happenings. Tony at Comic-Con 24, 25th, 26th, booth 1932.
Comic-Palooza.
You can commission Tony to draw all the things or whatever you want early if you'd like.
And I am also adding to my booth. I'm going to be doing temporary airbrush tattoos. If you've never seen any of the ones I do, I will be throwing up some examples for you to check out.
Tony will be throwing up on his airbrush tattoo.
Throwing up?
You said throwing up.
Did I?
You said whatever things you'll be throwing up is what you said. So.
Okay. Anyway. So I'll be doing that. And then another thing also is, you know, I like putting buttons on my jacket and my backpacks and all that. So I'm going to have buttons with some of my artwork on it. Plus also I'm going to have some with, you know, different sayings on them and all that for you to also check out. You know, it's going to be something new, but then I'm also going to have some that are blank. So if you would like to commission me to do a special button just for you, I'll be able to do that at the show.
That's pretty cool. Any other interesting news that's going on at Comic-Con that you've heard of thus far?
At Comic-Palooza right now, they're announcing new people all the time. So the best thing that I can recommend on that is just to go to their webpage, which is just comicpalooza.com. And, you know, they've got new news coming out all the time. New news.
Yeah.
So with that right there, there's going to be a lot of great stuff. It's always a really cool thing. And just to give you a reference point to find my booth, I'm going to be right down from the Sapphire stage.
So what is the Sapphire? What is a Sapphire stage?
It doesn't have any information on it yet, so I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be like a panel stage or what that is. I'm going to this week so that on one of our upcoming podcasts I can give more information on that. But I'm going to find out what that Sapphire stage is because...
And you're next to a floral thing.
Floral Frolic is the people closest to the Sapphire stage. And then on the other side of me is going to be Steampunk Garage, which I like steampunk stuff, so I think, you know, that's probably going to be cool to be next to them. And then I'm literally in the middle of the row, you know, the middle booth of the row, so that kind of gives you a reference point also.
Right. No, I gotcha. Okay. Cellar 24 Movie Trivia Night. We have been asked to do that.
I'm actually getting really more interested in this the more I think about it, but I just, you know... Once we get with Cellar 24 and get all the details on it, you know, I think this might be a pretty cool thing.
Yeah,
you should
totally check that place out if you're in the Woodlands and you're looking for just really cool, chill wine bar.
The owner
atmosphere.
Is awesome.
The owner is amazing. She does really, really good food, small bites.
And she's just a super nice person.
Yeah, no, there's just a lot of fun stuff, a lot of cool stuff. Going on. So anyway, C24, check them out. And then T&I, that's where we do Wine and Vinyl right now. They're doing kind of an exclusive thing. We told her that we weren't going to do Wine and Vinyl at another venue thus far, since she was the first one to kind of give us a shot on our crazy science experiment that we still haven't given up on. It's just we're kind of getting discouraged about it, but
not really that. There's just a few things that technically we have to work out so that we can provide a better show for everyone.
Right. Yeah. No, I got
you. Once we fix those few technical things, it's going to be it's going to be great again. We just have to work that out and
make vinyl great again. Yeah.
That's a hat right there.
That's true. Yeah, no, so that'll be fun. And I've never done a trivia night, so I'm not quite sure what that entails or anything like that.
So the first one we do, it's probably going to be a little rocky, but it'll probably be the most fun one out of all of them because it'll be the first one we've done.
We get to make fun of ourselves, which is always a fun thing to do.
So. Yeah, and I mean, you never know what I'm going to say on the mic. I'm really not a mic person, so when I do get on the mic, it's holy crap, what are you going to say?
You've opened up quite a bit on the mic since the podcast. I think that kind of chipped away at your mic phobia or mic shell a little bit.
It's not really in front of people, though. So,
But
I would say that, you know,
just
I would probably...
everybody naked.
I already do that.
Oh. All right, and it didn't help.
Some of it was some pretty bad sights, so I wish I hadn't have done it, but I did, and you know, I can't unsee that, so there we go.
Cool. All right. So what are you not doing this weekend, T-Bone?
I am actually, as you probably saw the other day when you rode my car, I had to clean that thing out.
Yeah, it's time. I think Jimmy Hoffa is somewhere
I've just gotten... I ride by myself most of the time, except for when I pick up my son. So stuff gets thrown.
I was all by myself.
Stuff gets thrown in the floorboard. Stuff gets thrown in the back. I've got like 30 coffee cups because
I was thinking of you.
I dangerously drive with coffee cups that are
no
just,
crap. You know your coffee cup game is on point, especially not non-travel coffee cup. I don't even know how you drive a vehicle with a non-travel coffee cup.
It's amazing. I'll show you how to do it sometime.
You're not really good at it. Showing the coffee, you know, resemblance on the
No. Those spills are not from me.
Oh.
So no. In fact, I
saw. Wasn't me. It was the one-armed man. Yeah.
That just made me think of somebody that I just don't want to remember.
Got it. Oh, yeah. No, I forgot about that one, too. Cool. All right.
So, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. But also, you know, I think that, you know, what I'm going to do, and this kind of leads into our next point, is I think I'm going to
check out gonna
the Velma series on Max.
You know? Yeah, so...
It's Velma, like, I started to watch one of the episodes... And
it's pretty racy, right?
Yeah, my son was still up, and I was like, whoa, hold up a minute. I'm going to have to, like, come back to this later because it is very adult. But, you know, it's kind of like one of those moments where, oops, I think I downloaded the wrong Scooby-Doo movie.
Yeah.
And, Scooby-Doo. But, hey, you know, I mean, if you're into, you know, stuff like that, you know, you might enjoy it. Yeah, I've only seen one episode partially, so I'm going to check that out and see what it's really all about since season two is coming, on April 25th.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, so a little bit more development in my neck of the woods for the...
Yeah, sorry, I skipped ahead a little bit.
I didn't care about it anyway, it's fine. The cartoon project, apparently I will be, and I did have to verify I can release said information before information is released. So.
This is going to be kind of like a Ryan Reynolds situation. You really get to just be yourself.
Right. Yeah, no. So apparently I am a bad guy. He's a bad guy. Yeah, no, I'm a bad guy. I am a spirit, so to speak, so not of this earth, but I.
So does that
am,
mean, okay, when you say spirit, does that mean it's. And I don't know if you can just. Okay, I was going to say, I don't know if you can just.
I'm from a ghostly world. I'm from a ghostly thing.
Okay.
I'm being cast as a sarcastic spirit and protagonist as well. He has a mean streak, but also has a good heart. But he, in this particular season, I will be known as the villain of the thing. Don't know how that's going to develop, and that's all I can say. Probably said too much.
Well, I'm actually really looking forward to this because you sprung this on me, and I didn't even know that this was
it was kind of a thing. It was kind of sprung on me because I didn't know it was a thing. Because again, back then I had no life. I lived on the lake. I had Fridays off, and then I had half Saturdays off, and so on Fridays and Saturdays I would go do these open casting call auditions. And never,
so this was about 4 or 5 years ago?
No, longer than that. It was longer than that. 9, 10 years ago.
So they were really just holding on to your stuff then until the right thing came along.
Well, it wasn't that. It was the it's what I didn't real after talking to the team, almost said the name. After talking to the team, you don't realize how long it takes to develop a cartoon.
Yeah, you know, the cartoons that you're seeing a whole season take, you know, you're seeing the episodes like maybe one a week, and there may be like 15, 20 episodes. But that takes a year or more to be done.
It's kind of Invader Zim style, better animation, with better graphics and animation. But they've even said they may scale back depending on how long it takes to get. They're really pushing for a holiday launch is what they're trying to do. Is they're trying to bring
so maybe before the end of the year?
Maybe, yes. That's what they're trying to do. That's why they're pushing for table reads and voiceovers and whatnot. Yeah, no, so it's kind of a long-winded thing. So they're trying to release it this year. I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, I've seen...
I'm looking forward to it, man.
I've seen preliminary of the artwork. I've seen the kind of the stills and then the clips of some of the animation stuff. They still have a lot of work to do, but... That's the other thing that we were just talking about
is that, you know, to put together a cartoon is actually really hard.
Yeah.
It's the same work as doing an actual movie.
Yeah, no, I wish I could talk about it. I can't really talk about it on air a lot because they're kind of keeping it.
It's totally understandable.
Here's the thing, I'll tell you this. It's totally an original story. I'm going to be like freaking, what is his name? Tom Holland, where he can't keep a secret and he ends up spilling it or whatever. But no, so it's totally original story. It's not based
off.
Don't
spill the beans.
Yeah, it's not based off a comic or anything. It's all original writing. It wasn't a concept before, and it's something that they've been working on and put it together. And it is being looked at by major networks already. So the most of the team actually lives in the LA area or California area, so a lot of them are
so you're gonna actually have to go out there.
I don't know yet. I did ask that, but most
when
of
you
the,
do go can I go
sure why not? Just shut the world down. Yeah, no, so most of that stuff will be typically they can do that all in vocal studios or voice studios, like these podcasting areas or whatever, professional recording studio stuff. A lot of times I don't know. I know the table read, they want us all in the same room because they get a good read of chemistry. And
well, that's, you know, like what that. I've noticed a lot also when they do table reads like that. And the interaction, and that's where really the characters develop.
Right, because you'll have two that have a good chemistry with each other, and then that's
exactly.
you could create a whole new
kind of like on our secret project.
Which in a cartoon, they're not really hoping for, because that means the artwork is totally wrong and in the wrong direction. But you never know. You know, you never know. But I think...
That's kind of like Cinderella. The guys that drew Cinderella originally... had never seen the girl that was doing the voice.
Yeah.
And then when they saw her, they were like, that's exactly what we drew.
Well, there is a lady that's doing, there's two or three different actors that are still here in Houston or in the Texas area. So that would be easy. And there's only a handful that are out west. So, but most of the talent that's drawing is out west. Most of those guys are out west. So, it'll be interesting, but I think they're going to fly in for the first initial table read since most of the cast is here, and then we're going to kind of do a table read and just see what happens and then go from there. I'm a little nervous on it. I mean, not really, but I am, just because I'm not an actor. I don't have any experience acting, but I do voices and I do all that stuff.
Right. I mean, you do this stuff all the time. You got this, man. Yeah, it's kind of like me. I've DJed in front of 60,000 people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, when I walked out there that night, I was like, oh, holy crap.
Yeah, I think it's something I'll naturally just fall into, you know.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, since the role kind of like falls perfectly in your personality, I think as long as you just be yourself.
There's some big name, not huge name, but big name in cartoon voicing. They're particularly the LA crowd. And some of them are seasoned in that, and they've worked on other cartoons and other shows. And so they're looking. I've actually reached out to a couple of them and had a few conversations with it. They listened to the auditions of what everybody's done. They were like, man, you're going to be great. Don't even worry about it. It's just, it'll be like talking for you. So, like, to your point, it'll be like Ryan Reynolds being Ryan Reynolds. So,
yeah, because that guy literally gets paid to be himself.
And then after the table read, we're going to discuss the ugly part of it, which is the financial part of it and how all that breaks
down. Yeah, that's always behind closed doors.
They can pay me a dollar. Like, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, it's just, to me, I look at it as an opportunity to just have, yep, I did
you
that.
Know,
you
just
off.
Told everybody what I'm going to pay you to help me out at Comet Palooza. I'm going to pay you a dollar.
Okay. Well, you know, if you keep me fed, I'll probably be fine. Thus far you have. So
I'll have a cooler with sandwich stuff.
There you go. yeah. So, okay. So rolling into movie news, you were talking about Velma a little earlier.
Yeah. Velma. I mean, we're about to move into season two on that. And, you know, I haven't even finished the first episode of the first season, but that's also because it's an adult cartoon and my kid was still up, so I couldn't watch it because it gets pretty,
so it
risque
is pretty,
in the first few
so
minutes.
Are any of the other Scooby-Doo team a part of the thing?
That's what I'm saying. It was just a few minutes into the episode before, like, I was like, whoa, my kid's still up. So I got it. But, you know, I like racy stuff like that. So
it's going to be a 10-episode season. I think it starts April 25th.
If I'm not mistaken, it's actually been probably 2 years in the making.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because the first season came out, I think, in 21.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but it was probably how long in the making in 21? Like, right now, they're just now talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Last Ronin project, which is going to be a rated R live action. No pre-production. It's still script, still in the works. No acting picked out, actors picked out, nothing like that. So it's, you know, it takes a long time to get that type of stuff off the ground. And sometimes it's a failure to launch. Sometimes they'll do all the work and then nobody picks it up, or they'll run a pilot and nobody picks it up. And so,
right.
Who knows? So I'm not counting my chickens or putting eggs in a basket. It's just, it's an opportunity that I think I would be good at. It sounds like fun, and, you know, it seems like it'd be cool. But yeah, no, I haven't seen the Velma thing. I just saw that season two was coming out. So what's our next? So I have no opinion on the Velma thing.
That's what I think I'm going to do. Like, you're asking what I'm not going to do. That is what I am going to do. I'm going to at least start that.
Gotcha.
So that maybe next week I can give a little bit more insight on where it's going to be going.
Okay.
Because until I have more understanding of the first season, I don't want to go into a description of the second season because I don't want to ruin the first season for myself by reading about that, you know. But I'm gonna watch that because it's a short season, so I should be able to watch it, you know, Sunday and Monday, and then when I come back in for our Wednesday cast, we'll be able to discuss that further.
Yeah,
and I'm actually really looking forward to it.
Sure. So we're on the street that Blumhouse and Lionsgate are teaming up on some of the older horror franchises. I think the first one out of the dock is going to be Blair Witch.
Yes, and I'm going to tell you right now, I hate the woods. Like, I hate the woods. So when I watched that movie, it literally scared me.
Really?
Because I hate the woods.
Yeah, I think that was the first scary movie that I ever saw by myself.
Well, the thing about that...
it was so hyped. It was so organically
But the thing about that movie is, think about it. That was still early on and all. So, like, filming like that was new. You know, to come out with that. So, you know, I'm going to agree with another radio personality. Can you catch lightning in a bottle twice?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because the first time, like I said, that was so new, the way they filmed it. And they filmed it with such a hype that it was like a real thing.
What made the first one cool is it was so grassroots. Like, it was so grassroots, and it was shot on a very low budget, which made it really successful. And then when they tried to move it into bigger budget categories with the sequels, it didn't do as well.
No, because the thing about those is I tried to watch them, but they were too, like, polished. The first one, you know, with the camcorders and all that, just, like, made you feel like you were actually out there, you know, in the woods with those people. And in the second one, I just didn't get that feeling. So I was like, it kind of ruined it for me.
Yeah, and they're not really giving a release date information on it. They're just saying it's in the works. The big thing, though, is that Blumhouse and Lionsgate are partnering up. Now, Blumhouse is the newer kid on the block. They're the ones
if you haven't heard, they're the ones that are going to reimagine Spawn. I just don't know.
Right.
They announced that a few years ago.
They had success with their, what I would call, B-level movies.
But I really like their stuff.
What I would call the Pooh, Blood and Honey, and all that, whatever.
Blood and Honey.
Right, but
yes,
if you think
which
about
I'm excited
it,
about the second
Lions
one.
Lionsgate, between 1999-ish into modern day, that a lot of those horror, like Glass House was Lionsgate, Blair Witch was Lionsgate, The Ring was Lionsgate. There was a lot of Lionsgate.
Was 13 Ghost?
Yes, 13 Ghost was also Lionsgate.
That was, with Matthew Lillard, was great.
So they did Lionsgate did a lot of movies back then, but the fact that they're...
won't talk about Saw.
They're not... they're partnering with Blumhouse, which is the newer kid that is kind of rejuvenating.
But they're really bringing back horror.
They really are. Yeah. No. So
and it's not like overly gory, but like it's like, you know, it gives you that true horror feeling.
So I would score.
It's not campy like A Nightmare on Elm Street that I do still love though.
As far as my opinion score on this, I would say intrigued. I would probably give it a 2 out of 5. Let's just see what they do with it. But I'm not super over the moon excited about a Blair Witch movie because the shaky camera thing has now been done. Paranormal Activity tried to do it with the whole let's film it on bad security camera things and shaky camera to make it look real, and it just, it's kind of been overdone now. But we'll
see.
Yeah,
at this point, it's you know, like so many other people have done that and all. That like I said, that moment of catching lightning in a bottle, can they do that again?
So speaking of trying to catch lightning in a bottle, James Gunn is desperately trying to do that while rebooting the DC series.
Yep.
If you're not familiar with James Gunn, he was the one that helmed the Guardians of the Galaxy and several large Hollywood superhero feature-length films. He is his first project on tap is Superman, so he is doing that.
I'm kind of excited because he's the one that did, what was that one? Brightburn, right?
Yes. Yeah, he
was
Brightburn.
I liked his take on that.
And he was also the one that also said Brightburn's probably going to be a failure to launch from here on out because it was a pretty ugly split between he and his partner.
That's kind of unfortunate because that was really good.
It was a good movie, but unfortunately, box office is king, and it didn't do well enough to fight for it to get the rights for it. So, and he may be playing devil's advocate to get it a lower price. We just don't know. But that's kind of what he said. He kind of gave a doom and gloom outlook on it. I have a feeling it has more to do with he is laser guided focused on DC. DC has been a failure to launch since the Zack Snyderverse. Even though the Zack Snyderverse would have been done well if it hadn't been ruined by other Hollywood directors. So, but he said on tap, the first villain in the movie is going to be, in fact, Lex Luthor. So no surprise there. We don't know if it's going to be an origin story or if he's going to just jump right in it. Hopefully he jumps right in it just because the origin story has been done with Superman so many times now.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody knows that he has a crystal cave out in the middle of Antarctica or whatever the heck it is. And so it's just, you know, it's just been done and redone and overdone. It's kind of like what I hope they do with it. It's kind of like the, what they did with, it wasn't Spider-Man. What am I thinking? What movie am I thinking of where they just jumped right into the story and they didn't really... Oh, Batman. It was the new Batman. Yes. They didn't really go and show the death of his parents and all that stuff. They just basically said, yep, parents died. You know, and they just... Everybody knows that. Everybody knows the origin story. There's no...
Well, yeah, I mean, even like in the original...
Aunt May died, you know, or Uncle Ben died for Spider-Man. That's why Spider-Man was Spider-Man. But even though... The Tom Holland version, they didn't kill Uncle Ben off. The Aunt May and Tony Stark. Tony Stark was actually more of the Uncle Ben character, and then they kind of killed him off. So
was that why they took Uncle Ben off the rice packages?
No, that was a whole different level of stupidity. but yeah, so interesting news on the Superman. I'm really so my opinion here. I weigh 3 out of 5. I really liked Henry Cavill as Superman. And so it's really makes me mad that we're not going to see more Henry Cavill as Superman because he ate it, he lived it, he breathed it, he was Superman. And so it's going to be really hard for me to give somebody else a chance when they did Henry Cavill so wrong in that process. But I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to get a younger actor. That way they can get more movies out of him. Instead of an older actor that is, it gets harder to do as they get older and, you know, cause you know, the aging and everything. So, but anyway, so that's kind of where I weigh it. Where do you weigh in on it? I don't, you know, 3 out of 5 is what I would give that one interest wise.
Yeah. I'm not really a Superman fan. When I was a kid, I love Superman. It's like my kid, he's a big Spider-Man fan.
Yep.
When I was his age, you know, I liked some superheroes, but I still was always attracted to the villains.
Yep.
So like me and my son are complete opposite on that.
Okay, so there's a Mary movie being released.
Yes.
This year, I think. Did I see that right? This year?
I believe it is.
Anthony Hopkins is playing King Herod. So for those of you that are not familiar with biblical lore, King Herod was one of the most evil kings, if not the most evil king in the Bible.
Like ever.
Yeah, he had in fact, his wife was Jezebel. You know, nobody names their kid Herod or Jezebel because he was that bad of a person. He had such a horrific death in the Bible. In fact, he was either pushed out of a window or fell out of a window, and he was eaten by dogs. Like they ate every bit of him, even his bones. You know, so he was just a horrible, horrible, horrible person, and did a lot of horrific things. And because the story is about Mary, it probably has to do with him ordering all the children to be killed, you know, in the city, which is why which is why Mary was rushed out of town, because they had to get out of there. And then that's why they ended up in the, you know, in a farmhouse and a manger and all that stuff. And that's why Jesus was born there. Sorry, didn't mean to get that biblical. I know a lot about it. So this particular
Let's not give
king.
Too much of the story away for those people that haven't
well,
read
anybody
these books.
That's going to go see this, that's why they're going to go see it. But Anthony Hopkins is,
I know,
is
you know,
as
you know,
Herod
it,
is just going to be amazing.
You know,
so I'm excited. I'm 5 out of 5 on that one.
One that is probably going to make me sound bad is like the reason I watched the one by The Passion of Christ.
Yeah, and this is so.
When
this
I watched that one, I watched it for the scene that was the rough scene, and you know, I was like, man, it can't be that bad, and all. But watching that scene, you know, it's like you could just, after a while, you could start to feel it.
Oh yeah, well, so the director behind it is DJ Caruso. He was the director behind Disturbia.
That was a great movie. I actually watched that just the other day.
Eagle Eye, I Am Number 4, also a great movie. So it seems like a lot of action movies. So this will be interesting to see what they have planned on that.
You know, and you should know this even better than me. There actually is like a lot of heavy stuff going on in the Bible.
Well, and I know Mel Gibson's actually...
Yeah, the one that Mel Gibson did, Passion of Christ.
But
there's
going to be a part two of that. He's actually working on a part two of Passion of Christ.
How do you do a part two to that?
Well, because they didn't really do anything after he was risen or anything, you know, because there's a lot of lore between all that and all that stuff. So it really just depends.
I think it might get a little dicey there at that point.
I don't know.
But we'll see. So if he does it, you know, I'll give it a fair shot because the first one was amazing.
This story may actually bring me to a movie theater just to see Anthony Hopkins play Herod. Like, nobody's played this character on screen before.
And he plays like that scary guy very well. I mean, just look at how
Hannibal.
He did with exactly I was about to say that but you beat me to it. But yeah, he Hannibal, and like, I mean, everybody remembers the scene with the Farver Beats and Nice Chianti. Everybody knows
so
that scene.
So as far as excitement on that project,
he's amazing.
I'd say 5 out of 5.
I'm stoked. You know, I may go with you to see that one.
Yeah, I may check that one out. All right, moving into Ryan. Ryan Reynolds is actually a very busy guy, so I don't know if you've seen the preview. I know there's several previews that have been released of this movie called IF.
I have seen posters, but I have not seen any.
It's his imaginary friend. It's a big purple-looking guy, dinosaur-looking guy, not Barney, no.
I was about to say, like Barney?
Clay, larger-than-life-looking person.
Oh, so more like if you were to look at Pete's Dragon.
Yep, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, exactly. If I were to describe it, I would say Pete's Dragon. George Clooney's also attached to this project. Bradley Cooper is also attached to this project. And with a May 17th release date, so probably a good one to take your kids to. Here's the thing. Ryan Reynolds, anything the guy touches is awesome.
Even that scary movie that he did, Voices?
Yeah.
Where he was like the...
Well,
the murderer. It was.
Was
it was just
the
like,
independent
wow.
movie. The two independent movies he's released. The one where it was
the one where he went back in time to
right,
help
that
himself.
One, I can't remember the name of it, but the other one was the Metaverse one. Free Guy. That one was amazing.
That was great too. At first I was like, but then I watched it. And I was
it was
like,
awesome.
Oh my god, I stuck to it.
It was awesome. Yeah, no. So I'm gonna give this one. Probably 4 out of 5. I want to give everything 5 out of 5 because that's a rookie score. But let's just say 4 out of 5 on that one. 4.8 out of 5. Put it that way. As far as Jay's interest, 4.8. Don't know about Tony.
Okay, so if we go on our IMAX friend scale, it'll be, you know, out of 5, it'll be like a 10.
So here's
now, I like Ryan Reynolds. You know, ever since I saw the movie Waiting, he's just been, you know, funny to watch. So I dig almost everything that I've ever seen him in.
So here's one that somewhat snuck under the radar. It was a 2024 release, and that's with James McAvoy. And if you haven't seen him in a horror movie, go watch Split or Glass. And
that, oh, those are both great films.
Those were sequels to Unbroken.
Unbreakable,
thank you, with Bruce Willis.
Yeah, and that...
He, especially Split, where he plays 15 different personalities.
The
just,
way he switched was amazing.
So James McAvoy, upcoming horror movie called Speak No Evil, is arriving in perfect time. The film is a remake of a Danish horror movie from 2022, directed by Christian Taftrup. And his although his recent streaming success was Split and Glass could boost Speak No Evil into amazing popularity. To me, that's not giving him enough credit.
Right.
He's amazing. He's
such a diverse guy. He can play pretty much anything that I've seen so far.
He's way underappreciated, and you don't understand what you're doing and what he's doing to move that needle forward. And then but it is a 2024 release. They haven't had a firm date yet, but it is coming out. So premise of the story is he and his family are going off to a farmhouse as a getaway, and then apparently he loses his mind and just starts tormenting his family and all the things happen. So and there's no better to torment than James McAvoy, because the dude's scary. I mean, he's like Anthony Hopkins scary. So I'm going to say my interest in it would be 4.8 out of 5. Probably going to go see this one or not see it and watch it on streaming as I usually do. But yeah, no, I think it looks like an amazing, anything with him is going to be awesome.
Yeah, his acting.
Have you heard about that one, or did you hear about the guy? I didn't know anything about it, and then it just kind of popped up on my radar. So
I started reading about it a little bit yesterday, and the more I read about it, the more I was like, ooh, that sounds just really cool. So Speak No Evil, yeah.
Yeah, Speak No Evil. Twister's releasing this year, actually.
Yes, which I'm looking forward to that, because I still love the first one.
Yeah, no, releasing this year.
Too bad that we don't have, one of the actors from that movie, from the original.
Oh, I know, Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton was awesome.
God, I loved Bill Paxton. I liked him in...
Weird Science?
No, well, yeah, but no, even more recent, the Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise, where he's the drill sergeant. I always mess it up. I got it right this time. I almost messed it up right there. Yeah, no, Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise, and where he was the drill sergeant and tip of the spear and just all the one-liners that he was throwing out there.
There was another movie that I saw recently that he was a military guy in. It was really good.
He does it really well. But yeah, no, it's going to suck. There has not been a report of Helen Hunt is going to pop up in this one. And there was a 15-minute showing at Comic-Con just recent, and it did confirm that the female lead is not replacing Helen Hunt's character. It's actually the male lead, who was also in Top Gun Maverick. He was the opposite of the Tom Cruise guy, not Goose's kid, but the other hotshot dude. I don't remember his name. I just went blank. But it'll come out. I thought the scripting was supposed to help us not, you know.
Are you talking about Iceman?
No, Maverick, the new movie. Yeah.
No, but you were talking about like the kid.
No, it'll come to me in a second. Rooster. It's the guy, not the guy that plays Rooster. Hangman. It's the guy who plays Hangman.
The one guy's, this is Bagman. Yeah. And he's like Hangman.
Yeah, no.
Which I thought was really funny.
Yeah, no, it's Hangman. The guy who plays Hangman is the lead in the new Twister movie. So moving through movie news.
I want one of these popcorn packages.
Some Dune news. So apparently AMC executives are regretting.
I've got to go find one before they're gone.
That they have moved into for this popcorn bucket. Long story short story long.
It looks like a butthole.
It looks like a butthole with teeth. And
I gotta get one. I just got to.
You gotta put your hand in there to get the popcorn out, and they're immediately regretting it, but they've made it, and that's what it is.
Just don't put caramel corn in there.
Oh, dear. Or chocolate. Anything chocolate. Dear Lord. That's gross.
I want one of these. I'm going to have to get one.
Hopefully nobody's eating. So, okay. So, interestingly enough, moving through that, no pun intended, Fast and the Furious X or 10 Part 2 news. May not be the news that you're hoping for. Maybe it is the news we're all hoping for. Apparently, the script is finished. They're already in works of it. However, Universal Studios has no interest in a part two of Fast and the Furious 10.
I don't really have one either, so I'm right along with it.
Because of the box office flop that it was. So Fast and the Furious X is probably going to be pushed to just straight into Fast and the Furious 11, and they're not going to do a 10 part two. I don't know how they're going to do that, because if you watch the ending, if you made it that far,
as a cliffhanger,
everything's in peril and everything's a cliffhanger. So either that's going to have to be a dream or something of some sort to get them out of that and go into a different movie. I don't know. Because it's that weird and it's that unhinged, or the whole process of that is unhinged. So I'm not quite sure how they're going to leave that. But yeah, no, Vin Diesel wants there to be a part two. Apparently they're not interested at all in an X part two.
He's been such a part of the story that taking his ideas into consideration, I think, would be
the budget's also been cut in half. So the studios cut
with
the budget.
Amount of cars they destroy in those movies, you can't really cut the budget. If anything, you need to extend it.
I don't know how they're gonna do it, but yeah. So not exactly good news about that franchise. They're actually more interested in a Hobbs and Shaw sequel more than they are Fast and the Furious. Which, if you didn't see Hobbs and Shaw, you need to. It's actually amazing. It has Ryan Reynolds in it. It has Kevin Hart in it. It has The Rock. And it has Jason Statham.
I thought Kevin Hart was just cash backing.
No. Yeah. Well, so what's weird is they didn't advertise that Ryan Reynolds or Kevin Hart was actually going to be in this movie, but
those were kind of surprises.
They both showed up in the movie, and it's like, what the – what? It was nothing but one-liners and a good time. So it was actually a really good movie. But yeah, so they're more interested in that sequel than they are Fast X stuff. So
I think that brings us right into, you know, what makes all this stuff possible in your theaters, and that's the projector.
Oh yeah, the projector. So new product, we get into our new product news section of the day.
New news.
Don't know if how much time we're gonna make in there, because we just got a lot of fun stuff to cover. So Barco, B-A-R-C-O, not the Barco Lounger, but a Barco projector. They make one of the industry-leading, most high-end cinema projectors out there.
They come with really nice cases. Don't throw them away.
Yes, please don't throw the boxes away. Long story.
What that is I messed up and threw the boxes away.
Long story about that. But the highly anticipated projector features the company's groundbreaking HDR light steering technology.
Sounds a lot like another technology that's out there that JVC has
with the pixel shift and tone mapping.
Tone matching.
But I think they're calling it light steering. So,
hey, well, you know, if you're going to use somebody else's technology and not have to pay them, then you got to change the name.
Barco will be the first one in the industry besides JVC that's actually releasing a projector with tone mapping technology. So that this particular projector was actually used at Comic-Con in several of the panels, and people were just ranting and raving about it and said it's cool. But that will be coming out for a late summer, early fall release. That's really all we know as far as specification or what's going on with it. But that's about what we're looking at. Going into other new product release, Yale Smart Lock is releasing a new product release. This is a retrofit door lock at $130 price tag, meaning you don't have to change the front side of your lock with a touchpad. If you don't want to, you can actually just replace the back half of it, motorize it, automate it, and then go on from there.
Nice.
Very cool. So some trouble brewing in our streaming world, T-Dog. So apparently the One Network that rules them all, that
one to rule them all,
FS1, CBS, and ESPN are working on, is now going into litigation. Yes, you heard that correctly, that Fubo, Dish, and DirecTV Stream have all joined forces to sue this network and claim it as a monopoly, stating that this is going to take viewers away from normal sports watching with cable television if they do this. And there's no value add for Fubo, Dish, and DirecTV Stream. And Xfinity. Xfinity is also on board with this. They're kind of the silent one. They haven't said anything. But Fubo now, so Fubo is the first streaming company that joined Dish and DirecTV to fight this one sports network where you're supposed to be going on that's primarily or predominantly going to be owned by Disney. So
who are the dominating D?
Yeah, no, I don't know. So it's just, and then so that they're fighting Disney, Warner Brothers, and Discovery and CBS from acting on that particular.
I think Disney just hasn't announced that they want to control all of entertainment.
Well, right, and
you know, they haven't announced it, but they just show it in everything they do.
No, so that's interesting. So keep an eye on that. It's not really a new product release, but it just kind of drops in right in our streaming category. Going into hacked news, some of you may be familiar with a company of DuckDuckGo.
The web browser. The VPN. Very secure. Yep.
They're right. The VPN that actually helps you with VPN. They're now going to launch their $9.99 privacy bundle that will that actually skims the internet and personally removes your data off of those dark web websites and whatnot, DuckDuckGo. So check that out on your hacked information.
Every time somebody says that, I think of DuckDuckGoose.
I know. So it also has 24/7 identity theft restoration. So they can actually help
navigate
all that for $9.99 a month.
I may have to, with the luck I've had lately, look into that.
Yeah, and that's just a recap on, the Roku hack and the AT&T hacks going on. We had one guy say, it doesn't bother me because he pays a service that does that. But
I told my parents today when I was dropping my kid off at their house so that they could watch him while I'm at work, so that I can talk to all of you wonderful people, that they need to unplug the Roku that's in their TV. They never use it, and they need to just unplug it.
Oh, absolutely. No, I completely agree with that 100%. It could even be how their data got hacked because they just went through that.
Very well possible, yes, because they did go through that. And my mom's been getting all of those AT&T text messages and all. And I told her, I was like, do not click on any of those. Do not open any of those.
No, unless it tells you to go change your pin. Oh yeah, no. If it's like an 8746 thing, then no, don't.
Yeah,
don't.
If it's just like a, the number to text to, not a phone number, but a number, leave it alone.
Right.
So, like I was saying, those couple digit numbers, bad. Phone number, not really any better. Just watch what it says. You can read a little bit before you click on it, and if it doesn't look right, if it looks suspicious, just leave it alone. You can always call AT&T, or they have stores you can go by and say, hey, is this safe to open?
Yeah, no, AT&T has an app for a reason, or you can do 611 or something like that. So it just really just depends on how you're wanting to cross that bridge. But protect yourself. The bottom line, protect yourself. Which leads us into our topic of the day. Home automation, or automate your home. What's the difference between the two?
Well, automating your home.
So automating your home is more like autopilot.
Yeah, that's where it just kind of like runs on its own. You set up like, hey, a good morning, and everything kind of turns on, and you put like your lights at like half brightness or whatever.
Yeah.
And your curtains open or whatever.
Scheduling. Yeah.
And you do that, but then the other way around is where, it gets a little tricky.
Some people like to do just to be able to control their home via wireless device. Other folks like to just control their home, or they like to have their home do their own thing on their own. So With that being said, that leads us into the do-it-yourself technology version of that, or the big guys. You know, there's pros and cons to each of those things. You know, and when you get into home automation or automating your home or both, then the popular thing to do for a lot is they'll go peruse, you know, Amazon or Best Buy do-it-yourself aisles or Home Depot's do-it-yourself aisles, and they'll start by buying, you know, smart light bulbs and thermostats and door locks, and which we just talked about, like the Yale door lock for $130. You know, they'll start looking at those things. So the frustration point for most people is that you're creating multiple apps to control multiple things. It doesn't all jump into one cohesive bucket.
Yeah, and so that's where you got to be careful, because, you know, once you get an app for this, an app for that, and all that, it starts getting way confusing. But as you've taught me, is it Lutron that works with everything?
Yeah, so there are a lot of folks out there like Lutron that play well with everybody. You know, like Lutron plays with Lutron, they play with Control 4, they play with Nest. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Lutron plays with Lutron?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah, no. So Lutron plays with Lutron. So if you're wanting to automate lights, Lutron is always my go-to instead of a proprietary. But typically where most people get overwhelmed is they go to those stores and they look at, oh, I like this door lock, and I like this door, the way this doorbell looks, and I like the way this thermostat looks, and then but none of those things work together. And that's the frustration point, and they just leave confused, they'll show initiative and buy all that stuff, and none of it works together, and they have 15 different apps that they're trying to use instead of one cohesive thing or experience to use. So there's something to be said for do-it-yourself technology, I feel. It has a time and a place. There's, you know...
It really just depends on, like, how deep you want to get into it.
Right,
like,
yeah.
How much control do you want, and... How much do you want it to just kind of run on its own?
Yeah. So what would you say the pros and cons are to that, T-Bone, on that one?
Well, me, what I like about the automated home, where it just, like, my lights come on, my door locks open up and stuff like that, is, you know, then when I get home, it's already ready to go. I just walk in and do my thing. Lights are already, I don't have to walk into a dark home.
So I would see.
And I'm not leaving the lights on all day, so that the light will be on in the living room when I get home.
Right. No.
It saves the electricity by coming on when I get there. And kind of like where you were talking about, like, the air conditioning comes on and it cools things down instead of just running all day and just wasting a lot of electricity. So I dig that part. But at the same time, also, you have to remember that if you go on a trip, you've got to turn that off. So that's kind of like the cons on that.
I would say the pros and cons to do-it-yourself technology in a whole would be the pros. It's easy to do. You typically don't have to rely on a pro to set up the item or install the item. And it's pretty much a set it and forget it type of experience. You know, the cons, you know, eventually some of the choices that you may have picked out may not work together if they decide they don't get along anymore, which leaves you hanging. Compatibility with other styles that you may like the look of, but they don't work together. And then they typically are bombarded and inundated with firmware updates that you have to keep on top of to help the thing work in a cohesive experience. And last but not least, in my opinion, to get the most out of the features of a DIY system is... there's usually a monthly charge associated with
right.
it. Yeah. No. So trying to get your doorbell footage a month later or 2 months later to see who walked up to your door and swiped your Amazon package, you if you're not paying that doorbell company, then they're not, you know, it may not be worth it for you. So, and last but not least is, are they safe? You know, you've got Roku being hacked, you got AT&T being hacked.
Which one are you using at your home?
Right now I have Ring.
Okay, so, because weren't you having problems with your garage door just randomly opening?
So the Ring and my Q do not work together. My Q is one of those companies that does not play nicely with other folks. And the reason why is because they're considered in a roundabout way a security protocol, because it's considered entry, gated entry or entry. And so they typically keep that close to the vest, and they don't partner up with a lot of folks on the DIY crowd morally. But they do partner up with security firms, and then they partner up with the bigger guys, the bigger kids on the block. But just because that's automated doesn't mean that can't keep that something from getting on your garage door frequency and opening or closing that door. So I'm not sure. That wasn't an app. That wasn't a thing that was internal in the app. That was probably somebody's garage door opener that's on the same.
That was on the same frequency.
Billion frequencies that you can get on when everybody has the same damn garage door opener.
That's also one of the things that kind of makes me nervous.
Well, true. But what shouldn't make you nervous is if it's automated, it'll let you know if it's open or not, and you can close it. So that's the other thing, if you do automate it
and if you do
add a retrofit automation option for it, then you will be notified when your garage door opens and closes. So that's kind of a key feature for that. So now what else is out there? Well, I'm glad you asked.
So, I don't know. Go ahead, man.
Yes, Tony?
I was going to ask something, but I don't remember. But I know that you have the answer, even though I can't remember.
I know you magically have the answer, like an AI.
Because you read my brain sometimes, man.
You're an AI robot. Justin is actually not an evil spirit. He's an AI robot. Yeah, no, so.
Oh, man, was that what, like, the pain in the back of my neck is? You, like, put some chip in it so that you can read my thoughts?
So how do the big guys in automation cover the DIY category? So this is a long subject, but we'll try to crash course it and then probably carry on with the on-the-weekend recap on the weekend, no less. But so, you've got the albatrosses out there like Savant, like Control 4, like RTI, like Crestron. There's a lot of bigger guys out there. And the way they compete is, one, they all work in one platform. They all present a somewhat consistent experience if your designer knows what they're doing. Okay. And they typically play well with others on a larger scale. So,
with that being said,
here's the problem with it. The pros are if the system is configured correctly, it's a pretty seamless experience. It's, you can really drop anything into it if it's configured correctly, which makes it expandable and scalable, unlike some of your DIY stuff, without the dreaded monthly fees per device. You can use it remotely, and it is a much safer option, believe it or not, that is typically doesn't get hacked because it's a closed loop circuit within that intranet, meaning it's not something that competes with everybody's outside world. It's something that competes with Savant servers or Crestron servers or Control 4 servers. So it's not. So the cons to that experience is you have to rely on a pro to make small changes, which can be somewhat frustrating and expensive.
Because some things like Savant now are locked down. You have to have a certified technician use it.
Yep.
Same thing with Control 4.
Yep, that's why Logitech was such an amazing
product. Because like I could teach people how to use it as I was programming it for them.
Exactly. And here's the thing. It's typically a more expensive startup cost, which is why most people ignore it. Not just on the equipment side itself, but on the programming side. So Design is very crucial for a successful experience. And in the, here's what I'll tell you. Cutting edge technology is, you never want to install cutting edge technology in your home. You just don't want to do it. The reason why is most cutting edge technology is released too quickly. It's not beta tested. It's typically not out there for, it's not ready for prime time market, meaning it's going to be buggy and there's going to be firmware updates and stuff like that. Now, if you want that experience, then that's fine. But my general tips for home automation or how to find a good home automation firm is that see how many other firms in the area support this particular platform. If it's only one guy that's doing Bob's Automation, then don't pick Bob's Automation, because if that one guy gets flattened by a truck or you decide that you don't like you him anymore, S-O-L. Or you guys don't, you're out of luck, you know? And we see that a lot. The problem with a lot of these companies is you cannot download from the general host, meaning it, you cannot extract your programming that's been done that you've paid thousands of dollars for. So if you're an end user and you have somebody doing that, even right now, demand that that person give you the master file when they're done and just kindly explain to them the reason why I need this is because if something happens to you, I don't have to spend thousands of dollars for somebody else have to program it. Now that falls in more of the RTI category and the Crestron category. Savant and Control 4, you can recover data from the processors. So meaning data recovery is much easier to achieve and you don't really have to worry about it. So what I would say is see how many dealers for that product are in your area. And the reason why I would say that is because maybe you don't gel with that person, or maybe it's halfway into the install and you find out, you know what, I'm really not gelling with this particular individual or the particular programmer, and you just see what your options are. You do not want to rely on an option that only one person can program, even if they're an awesome person. You know, that person may have a heart attack. They may get hit by a bus. They may decide they don't want to do it anymore and move to Cabo. Who knows? But it's typically not a good idea to base that choice off of something where
it's scary to put all your eggs in one basket.
Right. Yeah. No. And the main difference between something like Savant and something like a bunch of DIY stuff is that Savant uses Savant sanctioned product. Control 4 uses Control 4 sanctioned product, you know, and it's things that they have a relationship with. But what I will tell you is my disclaimer is to make sure that it's not a new relationship between that technology and that firm. Meaning, if you're going to do Control 4, make sure that this is not brand new technology for Control 4, because that door lock company or that doorbell company may decide that they don't like Control 4 anymore, and then you're kind of stuck in the process of trying to find you know, you're caught in the middle of it and your door locks don't work and your Control 4 doesn't work with your door locks. And then that was the whole reason why you decided to do the whole thing and jump into that bucket. So just make sure you talk to your integrator. Hey, is this something that Control 4 or Savant has offered for a long time? Is this something that this, or is it brand new? Because if it's brand new, you may want to ask a little bit more questions about that. So
exactly, for sure.
You know, my go-to for lighting is always Lutron. I tell people,
just because it's so friendly with other systems.
Do not let your integrator talk you into using a integrated controlled lighting. Like meaning If it's Control 4, do not let them talk you into doing Control 4 lighting. If it's Crestron, do not let them talk you into doing Crestron lighting. Don't let them talk you. Don't let me talk you into doing that. Use Lutron. Lutron works and plays well with anybody. And the reason why I say that is because if you decide that you want to discount tire your automation system, meaning I want to throw this thing through the wall because I hate it, then if you're using a proprietary lighting, guess what? Your light switches aren't light switches. They're programmed by the controller and they're told what to do by the controller. So therefore, the good thing about Lutron is if you're using a Lutron light switch, it's still a light switch if your processor goes offline. I can't say the same with Crestron. I cannot say the same thing with Control 4, and I can't say the same thing with Savant's proprietary lighting. And I'm telling the truth on that one. So just make sure that it behaves well on its own and it behaves well with others. If it's something like a doorbell, make sure it works like a doorbell regardless of whether your system works or not. If it's an intercom system or if it's a gate control system, make sure your gate control works as a gate control whether your system works or not. It's just basic tips and tricks to automation. Now, there are advantages to using things like Ring and things like that because they drop right into Savant. You know, Ring sells a professional type of product that'll drop right into the Savant ecosystem. But Savant's one of the few people that do that. You know, Control 4 doesn't do it. Other people don't do it as well. So, you know, you just have to be careful with some of those choices. Do not let your integrator talk you in to installing cutting edge technology. Cutting edge means the cookie dough is not baked yet. It's still doughy. And it means you're in what's called, what we like to call in the technical world, betaware technology. And betaware stuff sometimes may work, and then all of a sudden the company goes in a completely different direction and it won't work anymore. So do not base your technology on beta, what I would call betaware type of devices, or, you know, a beta type of experience. So that's what I would say when it comes to home automation. Now, I don't mind do-it-yourself technology. I think it has a time and a place, and I'm a proprietor for that, you know, and I support do-it-yourself.
Funny thing is, since we install all of this stuff, we kind of are do-it-yourselfers because it's what we do.
Well, do-it-yourself is what got me into the industry, you know, 25 years ago or 24 years ago. So, yeah, no. So do-it-yourself stuff is why I'm here.
But doing it yourself also helps you understand what you're using.
Well, typically what I'll do with most of the technologies that we sell, Tony, is, you know, I'll put it in my house first and try it, test drive it, see if I like it or not. And then if I don't like it, you'll never hear me talk about it. But if I do like it, or I am an advocate for it, then I'll be like, hey, man, you need to check this out because it's pretty cool. So there's a lot of things that I enjoy about do-it-yourself experience. And plus, again, it gains a general interest with that. The problem with, or the con of do-it-yourself technology is that you typically can't drop it in to other platforms or larger platforms very easily, meaning it's not expandable.
Right, so, right, right.
And if you are looking at DIY product, then and you may move into a larger product, just make sure you're moving in the right direction. And that's where your designer comes into play. You know, and you may be a DIY person. You know, things like Savant and Control 4 can be very overly complicated as far as set up and how, and it can be overwhelming as far as the experience and whatnot as far as the design process. But it does have a time and a place. You know, there are several things that I do enjoy about that type of technology that are fun, and aspects of it are fun. And again, there's typically the monthly cost usually isn't a thing to get the best out of your system, which is nice in comparison to the DIY stuff. But it's not for everybody. You know, the price point is significantly higher than DIY. But here's the thing. if you look at a Lutron light switch for $150 that controls 10 light bulbs, and you go look at using smart bulbs that cost $150 per light bulb, then now Lutron doesn't seem so expensive. So, you know, and that's kind of where what I'm getting at there. So but, you know, lean on your professional. There's a lot of good guys out there, a lot of good firms out there. We're one of them that can kind of help guide that direction for you and just figure out, okay, how automated do you really want to be? You know, some people want to be completely automated, like our high-tech redneck friend, Ian,
Yeah, he's one of those breeds where he just wants everything to just work, and he just kind of...
Well, he loves making stuff work together that aren't designed to work together. That's just like, you know, oh, did you know that you can download if else and do this and do that and extra vegetables and, you know, all this. And extra vegetables is actually a soft driver software. But, you know, and he can make that stuff work together. The problem with that, and Ian will tell you that,
it
is
can
if...
be quirky.
Well, they can also just disappear one day. You know, like IFFT just kind of disappeared off the face of that. IFFT stands for if this then that, which is an really old programming protocol. But it was an app that where you could drop different things that weren't designed to work together in the same app. And then one day that app may not be supported anymore because it was a hobby thing and it didn't go anywhere financially for that person. And they're like, man, I'm just going to shut it down. And so they kind of do that. So, you know, but you can jump into that world, but going back into that is it safe? You know, Waze and Waze cameras were hacked. I think it was Riven or, started with the R, it'll come to me in a second. I talked about it on the last cast, Are You Hacked cast. Their camera systems were hacked where people can actually watch your camera footage. You know, wireless camera systems are not safe. They really aren't. You know, people that want to do harm to you can use a Wi-Fi jammer, flood your Wi-Fi frequency, and then every Wi-Fi device shuts off, including your camera. Guess what? If he does that with a hardwired camera system, your NVR is still recording. You still have footage of it. So whether it's wireless or, you know, whether it's on the network or not. So, you know, a lot of things. This is a very deep, complicated subject that we could just go hours and hours and hours on. But, you know, just kind of scratching the surface because we spent a lot of time on the fun stuff, the movie news stuff, which is fun. It's the weekend. It is what it is. You know, going
kind of flying by the seat of our pants on that, and
right.
There was so much fun stuff to talk about there.
Well, there is, and again, we're trying to stick to this new format thing, and we'll see how it works.
So bear with
us
while we get used to it.
Yes, you know, but it will the episode. So with that being said, you know, so that'll bring this one to a close because we're already running longer as usual on this one. But so what we're going to do is start sectioning these episodes off. So, you know, and what I can do is add chapters to the episode to where you can skip to a chapter or skip to the topic or whatever, like a pause break or whatever. And so it's going to start off with weekly news, you know, what's going on between Tony and I, what we're working on side projects, and then it'll go into movie news. And then after movie news will be new product or no, Are You Hacked news? And then what we call the hacked section. And then we'll jump into new product release and then briefly and then jump right into our tech topic. So we're going to have to do is keep, you know, this one again was kind of a first go around on it. So we'll see, you know, let us know what you think and see what you think. And then we'll just kind of have to go from there.
Take one episode at a time.
One episode at a time. So, closing arguments and or rebuttals about anything we discussed. T-Bone, you got anything?
No, I really think that we've, as far as automating your home or home automation, I think that's a lot to digest. I'd love to see people's questions on that because that's... It can be a little confusing when you start talking about the differences between the two. And, you know, we'd like to hear what you think.
Yeah, no, that's kind of where I'm at too. You know, a lot of this newer stuff revolves on things called geofencing, which geofencing is when your device hits your Wi-Fi network, it'll cause a sequence of events as it does that, meaning as you're pulling up to the driveway, you typically can get Wi-Fi outside in the front of your home. Phone jumps on the Wi-Fi network, and then it kind of lights a pathway up to your home and turns your thermostat on, and hell, you can even make it turn your TV on if you want to. So there's all kinds of different things that can be sequenced in those particular events. We call it scenes. We can create scenes like Good Night, where it turns and all everything off and shuts all your lights off and locks your doors and sets your alarm system and all that fun jazz. So a lot of fun stuff to talk about with automation. I think it's going to definitely be a multi-part episode, but I think we're actually going to make this our Friday and our weekend recap episode. I think that'll be, because this is kind of such a new format and we seem to have a really high traffic day today. So that's kind of making it a little bit difficult to kind of get an episode in edgewise, because Tony and I have been incredibly busy during the week. So anyway, you guys have a great day. And
great weekend.
That's a cast, and that's your weekend cap as well. And because we're going to get some rest over the weekend, and
stay tuned for more podcast information.
Last word.
I'm Justin. That's Tony. Last word on the last word on the last word on the last word
is word.